You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July the 18th, 2022. A left-wing group linked to billionaire George Soros, no surprise here, winning nearly a $172 million federal contract from Joe Biden's administration. What are they going to do with that money, you ask? Well, I'm glad you ask. They're going to use it to help young border crossers avoid deportation. $172 million going to a group also funded and founded by George Soros. Your federal tax dollars helping illegals stay here and not be deported. Is this a great country or what? And yet we're so systemically racist. I'm surprised anybody would want to come here. Aren't you? Oh, Democrats are complaining on the East and the West Coast about the Biden administration failure to deal properly with monkeypox. In California, in San Fran, they fear a widespread increase in the number of cases. New York City is reporting a spike in infections. Democrats are upset, saying, we're going to run out of monkeypox vaccine later in the week. In case you're late to the story on this one, monkeypox is mainly spread among the gay populace, but you don't have to be gay to get it. And it's unclear if it's going to be fatal, could be fatal, could be life-changing or what, but we get a vaccine for that. We'll create a vaccine for it, and you'll pay for it. Dr. Fake! Ring the bells. Dr. Fake said he will retire. Plans to retire after 50 years of federal service under seven different presidential administrations. He's 81 years old. He thinks it's time to move out. And also, he realizes Biden's probably not going to be reelected and the Republicans coming in, so if he doesn't retire, he will be fired. That will not stop hearings against what he's been doing. A Catholic hospital system based out of Peoria, the Sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis, Roman Catholic, operates 15 hospitals and another 12 facilities in Illinois and Michigan, now has a policy to only cover fertility treatment for workers in opposite-sex marriages. This will have some 24,000 health care workers under it, and they will not do anything to help same-sex couples. That could, of course, run afoul of a previous Supreme Court ruling. We'll see what happens with it. Greenwood, Indiana police chief described the 22-year-old man who shot and killed a mall attacker as a hero of the day, even called him a good Samaritan. This happened over the weekend. A gunman shows up at an Indianapolis mall. He's got a rifle, several mags. He starts shooting. He shoots and kills three people, wounds others. A 22-year-old pulls out his own pistol, shoots and kills the rifleman. You're not going to hear a lot of good praise about it. You don't hear much of it at all from the state-controlled media or the leftists. In fact, what they are now doing, they're immediately jumping forward and saying, you can't call him a good Samaritan. That was reserved for what happened in the Bible. As if now they're going to use the Bible against you. And that was the guy in Samaria, a Samaritan, who stopped to help a man injured on the road. In this case, the guy shot and killed a man who was trying to kill others. But you can't call them that. And, in fact, they're quick to point out that mall where the kid went in, the 22-year-old, I shouldn't say kid, carrying his concealed weapon, has signs posted, no weapons allowed in this facility. I figured it did. Most do. So when the gunman went in to kill people, he knew that he was violating that law, but he also expected everyone else would abide by it and they wouldn't bring a pistol in. He paid with his life to find out otherwise. Unfortunately, by then, he'd already killed two. New York City, 11 separate shooting and stabbing incidents within a six-hour time frame, right after Democrat Mayor Eric Adams promised, we're going to turn crime around. Yeah, that's turning it around all right. And in the meantime, Nancy Pelosi's office responding to her husband's controversial chip stock trades ahead of congressional vote on the semiconductor industry, saying the speaker doesn't own any stocks. We're not involved, just her husband. Oh, and this, I've been waiting for this to happen. A Swedish writer is demanding that mosques welcome and include members of LGBT communities. They haven't been going to gay bakers, or gays haven't been going to bakers that are run by mosques, but they want to push them into mosques now? Huh.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I've been here the last 2 days. I brought a group of seven senators down to the Rio Grande Valley. And I got to tell you, it's the worst I've ever seen it. It continues to get worse and worse and worse. It is utter chaos. We went out last night on midnight patrol with the Border Patrol. Within minutes, we began encountering illegal aliens. Just within minutes, we encountered a group of three teenagers, two boys and a girl from Honduras and Mexico. They turned themselves in to the agents we were with. A few minutes after that, we saw a group of about a dozen, mostly women and children.
Mostly women and children. That is Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, in an interview with Sean Hannity after the senator had spent some days down on the border again. I remind you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in Larry Connors USA in the search engine. It'll take you right to our page. We can see previous postings and push live to join us in studio as I speak. You can also subscribe. We'll make sure you're notified immediately by email. Not looking for any information. We don't sell or pass any information along, and it costs you nothing to do it. We're just helping you maintain contact with us. As I mentioned in news and commentary, while all this crisis continues to build and escalate, a left-wing group already linked to George Soros, who's a billionaire, now has $172 million in federal money from the Biden administration to help young border crossers avoid being deported. This administration has absolutely dissolved our border. They now have border agents that if any female comes across and claims that she was raped or is pregnant and she wants an abortion, that the border agents are now to take them to a state where an abortion can be performed. your federal tax dollars paying for that as well. This agreement that the group linked to Soros got provides nearly $172 million, but it lasts until March 2023, could go as high as $983 million. From $172 to $983 million, do you want to put any money down that says it will go above $172? I'll do that right now. I'll take that over any sports bet any day. This is a guarantee it's going to go higher. And in the midst of all of this, what the leftists who are so bound and determined to just let our country no longer have a border. When you don't have a border, you don't have a country. The leftists that are so concerned, and we're down there every day when Trump was in office showing kids, quote, in cages, which were not cages. They were the same units being used to detain children until we could verify the adult they came across with was truly linked to them. It was a parent, a relative. Because in some cases, kids were being stolen from families down in the Central America or even South American countries or Mexico and then brought up here and presumed to be their child. And either the child was too young to speak or say or didn't know what to do. Or they were bought from families who sold their child off. Or they were just kidnapped off the streets. And then, of course, when you're in the hands of the drug cartel, they're not going to make sure you have a nice meal every day. I mean, they abandon 40 to 50 in that locked trailer in Texas the other day, leaving them to die in the heat with no water, no ventilation, no way to get out. And you can just, I don't want you to imagine it, but there are children inside these rings and these convoys coming up. How do you think those children are being treated? Senator Ted Cruz.
Included 2 7-year-old girls, each of whom was an unaccompanied minor. In other words, they weren't sisters, they had no parent, they had no adult with them. 2 7-year-old girls who were absolutely beautiful and precious with long pigtails. You and I are both fathers, Sean. Imagine handing a 7-year-old child over to vicious human traffickers. This is happening over and over and over again, and these kids are being horribly treated. That same spot we were, we saw a patch of grass just by the edge of the river where just days earlier, 2 little girls aged 5 and 6 had been violently raped by the drug cartels. This human tragedy is getting worse and worse and worse, and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democrats, they don't give a damn about it.
No, they don't. A 5 and 6-year-old. Rape is rape, whether the victim is in their 40s or 4 years old. But when you imagine these children and what they're being put through. Mara Flores, now a member of the U.S. Congress, Republican, born in Mexico, came here legally with her family. They became American citizens. She ran for Congress in a border county of Texas that had been Democrat-held for decades, and she turned it red because most of the constituency of that county are also Latino or Hispanic, and they did not like what's happening at our border, and they live on the border, and they are also watching fellow Hispanics come across illegally, and they elected her because of what's going on. Mara Flores made it clear because her husband also is a Border Patrol agent. How the local residents, even Hispanic, Latino residents, American citizens, are responding to this absolute open door for illegals.
administration doesn't care about children being abused and going through rape just to get here to the United States illegally and then sold into child sex trafficking. The Biden administration is at fault. They continue to encourage people to come here illegally, knowing that they're going to have to go through such dangerous journey to come here to the United States. If why not focus on legal immigration and improve the legal process so good people that want to come here to work hard for the American dream can do it, but not have to go through that dangerous journey. But it blows my mind. Why would they continue to push illegal immigration, knowing it's funding criminal organizations that have taken over the entire southern border?
And they have. Arizona Attorney General candidate Abe Hamadet said, "I will declare cartels a terrorist group on day one if I'm elected the Attorney General for Arizona." He's a former prosecutor in Maricopa County, Arizona. He is running as a Trump-endorsed Republican candidate. And he said, "I will designate the cartels as terrorist organizations on day one." And they are. And it's not just the children. And that's to me, that's a big deal about these children, how they're being treated and brought in. But it's also the drugs. The report the other day from the CDC, 250 die a day from fentanyl poisoning in the U.S. of A. Now, they didn't plan on taking fentanyl. Maybe they were taking something else, maybe marijuana laced with it. And some that said had used it, they were fine. They said, "Hey, this will give you a bigger high than you've ever had." But for them, it turned out to be fatal. Now, the other day, I had Dr. Rick Lehman of U.S. Center for Sports Medicine on with me, and he believes that number is low. I think 250 a day from fentanyl poisoning is extremely high, but he says that's probably even low by what the reality is. And how's that fentanyl getting in via various drugs and our large packs of fentanyl coming across the border? They've stopped some, but you know every time they stop and get one large haul, more shows up somewhere else. And then, of course, don't forget that those who come across the border, they're brought here by the cartel. You don't have them bring you to the border for free. They're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. You are going to owe them one way or the other. One way or the other, these illegals that are being brought here by the drug cartels are going to make sure that those they bring end up paying. Again, Senator Ted Cruz.
Banks of the Rio Grande, just in the grass, you found wristbands, which I found on the ground. Here are a couple of white ones. Here's a pink one. Here's a green one. And they're all color-coded. This is a yellow one. All of these are color-coded for how many thousands of dollars the people wearing them owe the cartels. This yellow one is tiny. This was obviously worn by a child. It's not broken. The child's hand was small enough to slip it off without it. This is a little child, a little girl, a little boy, who is now in America and finds herself or himself owing drug cartels thousands of dollars. And what happens next is that these kids, the Biden administration ships them to every city in America. Even if you don't live on the southern border, you're in a border town, because there are kids in your town. There are 14, 15, 16-year-old boys who owe the drug cartels thousands of dollars. They're working for the drug cartels, committing crimes in your town. And as bad as that is, the girls have it worse, because the girls find them over and over again trapped in sex slavery. This is immoral. It is horrific.
We have no idea where we're sending these kids. If they have a number in their pocket, the Border Patrol has been instructed, dial that number and say, "I have someone here identifying as Luis," or whatever the name might be. Or you're supposedly the uncle. Yeah, I'm the uncle. Send them on up. You don't know. We don't have resources to check out who we're sending them to. We call the number. Now you go back and check on it later, that number might have been a burner phone. But we don't have any way to check it out. There will be decades of stories to come out over the decades of children who were brought here under this open border policy and were sexually abused or sold off to pedophile rings, and many will later be found dead, maybe at a later age or when they get to be too old for whoever wanted them. This is what is happening. And the body bags, as Senator Cruz said, they are piling up.
You can't look at this horror and defend it. Joe Biden found the time to go to Saudi Arabia, but not to the southern border, to the worst illegal immigration in 62 years. The Joe Biden body bags keep getting worse and worse and worse. And Sean, the only good thing of all of this horror is it's opening people's eyes. I think November is going to be a red tidal wave. I think South Texas is going to turn red. And if and when Republicans retake Congress, I believe one of the very first priorities is that we should impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. I think the House will do that. And the Senate needs to conduct a trial. We need to put on a trial and put on the evidence of the people that are suffering and dying as a result of Joe Biden's dereliction of duty.
And that will be a legitimate hearing compared to the January 6th Democrat farce donkey show they've got going on in D.C., which continues to try to scrap out some kind of piece of information. 166 migrants, 166 died in one single Texas region over the last 6 months by various means, either drowning or killed by cartel members. The only Republican, the only Hispanic Democrats want to send back to Mexico is a congresswoman.
Be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and drink.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I am not a far right. Do not hold their values. I'm a conservative, and I will always represent the Hispanic community's values. I grew up with those values. They have been instilled in me since I was born, and I'm not willing to put my values aside for no political party. And the Democrat Party wants us to forget how we were raised. They want us to forget about our family values. They want us to be obedient to their party. And the moment that we're not no longer obedient, they go against us. I'm an immigrant. They claim to be in support of immigrants, and I only get but hate from the Democrat Party. They want to send me back to Mexico.
Yeah, they want to send Congresswoman Mayora Flores back to Mexico. She was born there in 1986, came here with her family when she was younger, legally. She's a U.S. citizen now, so she could run for Congress. She's a Republican. And, of course, you cannot be a Republican and be a person of color, or they would disavow you. And the only immigrant they want to send back is her. That should tell you everything about those who claim that we're all about immigration for everyone when you're not. And this country has immigration laws. We are built upon immigration, legal immigration. So I was talking to someone over the weekend when this shooting went down in Greenwood, Indiana, at a shopping mall outside Indianapolis, the Greenwood Park Mall. A man with a rifle, several magazines, walked in and started shooting. At least three were killed, several injured. There might be more deaths before it's over with. But then he was shot and killed. Now, when he went in there, he walked past the sign on the door that said, no guns are allowed in the shopping mall by order of such and such. That's an open invitation to anybody who wants to go somewhere and kill and have a free kill zone, because law-abiding citizens won't be bringing any weapons inside, right? Wrong. Normally, concealed carry weapons are carried in concealed. You don't know it. They don't cause any problem. They do their business. They go back out. And you only know it when it's needed. And in this case, it was. There was a 22-year-old in the food court when the shooting started. Police say he was legally armed. He was permitted to carry that weapon, even though the posting on the shopping mall said he wasn't. He pulled out his weapon and shot and killed the gunman before he could kill more. And the police chief said he's a hero. In fact, somebody even called him a good Samaritan. And immediately some on the left got all upset. My God, I cannot believe we live in a world where the term can equally apply to killing someone. My God! He saved lives. He's a hero. We call our military personnel heroes every time they had to kill the enemy to save lives, be they civilian lives or our own troops. The Good Samaritan is in the Bible as a man on the road to Samaria who stops and helps someone. That's the basic story. He didn't kill anybody. He was helping someone. But in this case, this is what the, quote, Good Samaritan did. Now, if this 22-year-old had said, oh, I can't go in there with my pistol, I'll leave it in the car, he might have been one of the ones killed, or certainly more than three would have been killed. You can bet that. Because when the gunman is shot dead, the shooting stops. The left, they want more gun control. I've told you before, if guns were the problem, you would know it. We've got three times as many guns as we do U.S. population. And people aren't killing people all over the place. That only happens if you're in a gang against another gang or somebody wants to go stupid. Be thankful for those who are carrying, because one day they may pull it out and save your life or your family's life. Or maybe you'll be the one to do it. Coming up, Iran supposedly could make a nuclear weapon any day now. Any day. My guest is Fred Flights with the America First Policy Institute. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. Saturday, as President Biden left Saudi Arabia, he said, we will vow to keep Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. That was Saturday. Then Sunday, on Al Jazeera TV, a senior advisor to the Iranian supreme leader said, we are capable of making a nuclear bomb any day now. Joining us is Fred Flights. He's with the American First Policy Institute. Fred, glad to have you on board.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
I know you're an expert on this, and you told me that you also appear on Al Jazeera TV from time to time. What was your thought the moment you heard him say that? No surprise to you, I assume.
Well, I will first say I refuse to appear on Al Jazeera because it is so fiercely anti-American, but I do some other Arab stations. But
my mistake.
Communist Party stations, crazy Islamic stations who hate America, I don't do them. I don't do RT either. Well, concerning the statement, this Iranian is saying something we already knew. We know Iran has the capability of making a weapon. Frankly, I think this guy is trolling the United States after Biden's trip, and I think they're trying to put pressure on Biden to make more concessions in the nuclear talks. From all the information that's leaked about Iran's nuclear program, obviously they're trying to make a weapon. This isn't a surprise.
Now, well, first of all, thank you for correcting me. I knew you had done some contacts that had connections to Al Jazeera, but I was wrong to say you've appeared on their TV. Forgive me of that mistake. Now, I note that June 9th, that word came out that Iran had started removing 27 surveillance cameras, and the word was that if we don't get those cameras back online within 4 weeks, we don't know what they're doing over there. That was June 9. To my knowledge, those cameras are not back in operation.
Yeah, there also were claims that the nuclear deal will be dead if we don't get those cameras. Look, the nuclear deal is already dead. It was a bad deal. President Trump pulled out of it. It wasn't keeping Iran from pursuing nuclear weapons. Iran was cheating on it. It would be nice if those cameras were back, but the Iranians retaliated because a very mild censure resolution was passed by the IAEA, and it pulled out these cameras. But I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
I got in a big argument with someone the other day and said, well, of course we need to be back in this Iranian deal. That's the only way we know that they're not making nuclear weapons. To my knowledge, we were never really allowed to inspect the sites anyway. Am I wrong?
We were allowed to inspect declared nuclear facilities and not military facilities. The problem is there are undeclared facilities that we couldn't inspect, as well as military sites. They allowed an inspection of one military site once, but it had to be done by Iranians. And obviously this was an investigation that they tried to rig, but even after they rigged it, the IAEA found minute samples proving covert nuclear weapons activity took place there. So the Iranians sort of screwed themselves by agreeing to that.
Well, Iran says we're just doing this, trying to take our people out of the Stone Age and have nuclear energy, nuclear power, not a weapon.
Well, Iran has a nuclear reactor, and we did try to stop them from getting that because of their record of cheating on their nuclear agreements. But if Iran wants to have a nuclear reactor, and this is something that Senator Menendez and Senator Graham proposed, we could create a nuclear fuel bank in the Middle East to provide reactor fuel. And in fact, it's much more expensive to make your own reactor fuel than to buy it on the open market because so many nations have moved away from nuclear power.
So the whole thing's a lie anyway. But when he says we are technically, as he said Sunday on Al Jazeera, we are technically capable of making a nuclear bomb, flat out admitting we are ready. It's just that we haven't decided whether we will build one.
Well, look, we've seen information that the CIA has produced, that the Israelis have stolen preparations for underground nuclear tests. The likelihood that the Iranians acquired nuclear weapons designs from A.Q. Khan, the father of the Pakistani nuclear program, all kinds of preparations for explosive testing to prepare a nuclear warhead. You know, obviously they're preparing for a nuclear weapon, and I don't know whether they haven't decided to make one yet, but they don't like to come out and say they're doing this. Even the evidence makes it clear that they are.
Well, that was surprising, the fact that he would make that statement that we're capable, we just don't know if we will build one.
Their activities, their behavior has been really bad this year. Well, I should say since April, there have been these nuclear talks in Vienna. At every session of the talks, the Iranians are more outrageous than the previous session. They roll back things they agreed to before. They make more outrageous demands. I think that the current regime, which is very, very radical, I don't know if they want a deal, but if they do, they want to extract some incredibly dangerous concessions from the Biden administration.
Are there divisions with inside Iran between the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, and others? I mean, when it comes to either having a nuclear weapon or not?
I don't think so. I think there was some willingness to postpone it, but they're still going to get it. But you know where the divisions really are? They're within the Biden administration. Early this year, two members of Biden's negotiating team resigned because the Biden administration was offering too much to the Iranians. And both of them were Democratic operatives. I mean, Democrats never do this. They always stick together. But this was so awful. Actually, there are three of them. These three officials resigned.
Is that because we weren't going to get anything in return or any verification? Or they just thought, we can't go back down this road again?
They thought we were offering far too much for Iran in exchange for nothing in return.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all, because Biden came out the other day and he said we've reached an agreement with Saudi Arabia, but he did not come back with a promise that they're going to help with oil, and we've got oil and gas right here in this nation. When we look at this long range, and God, who knows how long range is going to be, it's all in the Lord's timing, but if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, what is the next step?
Well, Iran has to get there, and I believe, based on experts I've talked to, they could make a weapon in maybe a year to 18 months, probably a little longer than that. Then they have to test it. They might have to test more than one of them, because this is nuclear science. It's difficult. And most states who start these weapons, they don't work as soon as the first version doesn't work. If there were preparations for an Iranian nuclear test, or if they conducted one, I think the Israelis would attack Iran with missiles and maybe other airstrikes. So to talk about them getting a nuclear weapon, it's complicated as to whether we'd ever get to the point where they would have a deployable weapon. But I think if they did have one, it would be enormously destabilizing for the Middle East.
Well, here's no one in the Middle East wants them to have one. I mean, but the other point is, the weapon is one thing, a system delivery is the other. I'm not sure if I share or fully understand why they would be concerned about, well, we'll try it out. If it doesn't work somewhere, that's fine, but it's not going to be here in our territory. We'll do it somewhere else. We don't really care. Aren't there so-called suitcase bombs that are still missing out of the Soviet Union after the overthrow of the Soviet Union that supposedly are nuclear capable?
Well, a miniaturized nuclear bomb like a suitcase bomb is extremely sophisticated. The Iranians can't build one of them. They might be able to build a weapon that could fit into the nose cone of a Shahab 3 missile, which is a medium-range ballistic missile. And there actually are plans for one that had been publicized that were provided by a CIA source, and this is all in the media. I'm not saying anything classified. There were plans to do this. So, you're right. There has to be a delivery system, and Iran's missile program has made enormous strides over the past 15 years. The purpose of it is to deliver nuclear warheads.
Am I just too naive or too skeptical in the sense that they got pack mules? What the hell? Put it on a mule and take off. Get to the point where you want to, and then you decide if it will work or not.
Well, they could put it. They could do that. They could put it on a barge. That's been mentioned as a possibility. But they have to conduct an underground nuclear test to see if the device works. There has to be a very, very fine-tuned implosion to set off the fission reaction that causes the explosion. And that might not go off. They have to know that what they've been working on for decades actually works.
Well, what if they try it somewhere and it doesn't work? No harm, no foul at their end as far as they're concerned.
Well, conducting a nuclear test has some telltale signs. There would be a lot of equipment arranged outside of this shaft to test the device. And in all likelihood, the U.S. and other nations would notice that this is being done. But it's possible it would be done and it would fizzle, and we would know that they conducted an unsuccessful nuclear test.
Fred, I do appreciate your expertise, sir. I truly do. And thank you for letting us implore on you again today, sir.
Okay, anytime. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Fred Flights, American First Policy Institute. Coming up, a letter to Putin. How do you get a letter to Putin? Somebody asked me that. And then a story that's going to have you nodding your head and said, yeah, I remember those days. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottler Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottler customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So through our website, KXEN1010AM.com, you can listen to us from anywhere, You don't have to be listening to the radio signal. In fact, many people simply download the app into their phone or just open it up in their phone, play it through their car on the Bluetooth while they're driving around. It's you don't need a big tower antenna anymore to reach anywhere around the world through the Internet. So I've got a listener down in Florida that's been a long-time listener, David. He said, I see you have a gasoline station in Hillsboro, Missouri for $4.19 a gallon. I want to write Putin a thank you note. Do you have his address, Larry? My answer was, just send it to the White House to Putin's attention. Then watch for it to be on state-controlled media. In fact, I'll initiate the coverage, and I just did. Thank you to Putin that now the gas prices are coming down because Putin's been to blame. Isn't that right? So when it comes down, you're going to give Putin the credit? Oh, they probably don't play it that way, do they? Here's how they play in the NCAA. Kentucky swimmer Ricky Gaines slamming the University of Pennsylvania decision to nominate Leah Thomas for the NCAA Woman of the Year Award. Thomas, of course, is transgender, the first trans woman to win titles at the Ivy League and NCAA championships. Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines has won a lot of medals on her own. She says, what you've just now seen, the NCAA is making the highest award in collegiate athletics worthless. She's absolutely right. Talking about how our world is changing, Britain has a school of contemporary dance, but they're going to stop one of their dances because it's built around white European ideas. It's too gendered. Well, what dance would that be? Ballet. If you're not a ballet fan, you don't care. But still, you get the idea. And I mentioned in news and commentary, there's a Swedish writer demanding that mosques welcome and include members of the LGBTQ community inside their mosque. When Christian bakers refuse to bake a cake because of their religion for gay homosexual couple, there was a big lawsuit, and they continued again, and they'll go find another Christian baker and do it all over again. They'll continue to do that. I've got gay friends who said that is so stupid. There are plenty of bakers who do it, and they don't care. You're just trying to make a point. You don't need to. And I said then, there are a lot of mosque bakeries. Why don't you go ask a mosque bakery if they will make you, or I should say a Muslim bakery, that they will make you a wedding cake for transgenders or something. You know what they do in those parts of the world run by Muslims? They're gay, they're homosexual, they throw them off a building. If they're still alive, they stone them to death. One of my listeners also sent me this. This is part of something that's circulating around. You might have seen it. I can't read all of it, but it does take you back in time. Almost like Mayberry days. Those of us who are part of the baby boom generation, 60s, 70s, 80s now, no longer recognize the nation which we grew up. We're strangers in a land that gets stranger by the day. It reads, we believed in the American dream. We worked hard, paid our taxes, obeyed the law, even laws we thought were idiotic. We struggled to raise families. Some went to war, like our fathers and grandfathers. Most of us now don't recognize President Biden's America. Patriotism has become passé. Our military is led by men who are social workers, and he really should have said men and women are transgenders. military led by those who are social workers and politically correct hacks. They can't fight, but they're great at getting soldiers to use preferred pronouns and combating imaginary racism in the ranks. Giant corporations have been replaced by individual enterprise, which in many cases have been taxed and regulated out of existence. Government bureaucrats and corporate execs are like the pigs and men at the end of Orwell's Animal Farm. The writer of this essay that's circulating on the net goes on to say, those who burn down cities are praised as heroes, celebrated as warriors of social justice. Our parents could retire at 65 in a mortgage-free home they bought in their 30s. Some of us working at 75. Retirement's a distant dream. We're working to provide benefits for illegals, addicts, and loons who camp out and defecate on the streets. Many of us are grandchildren of immigrants, and we're proud of that. Our people helped build this country. But as we witness our beloved honor of our country, with the tide flowing across our southern border, the middle class is being wiped out. Office holders for life treat us like mentally challenged children. They snicker as we pay their salaries. So we limp into old age, too proud to go on the dole, too stubborn to just give up. Besides, surrender now would be a betrayal of the America that once was and hopefully will return. Interesting essay. Regardless of your age, I know many of you associate with it. This country we've been blessed with, we should be on our knees every day thanking God we were born here. And what other country are people trying to get into illegally? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.